The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Discipline is developed by habituating daily practices of excellence. And that is essential as a leader these days.
We all want to operate at peak performance and push past our barriers, find new boundaries, be the best that we can possibly be. Now, I've long been an advocate of natural training, believing strongly that Mother Nature has provided all the tools that we need. But recently, a few new innovations have evolved my mindset in this area. One of these is the new NeuroStim device for physical performance enhancement called Halo. Now, Halo stimulates that area of your brain responsible for movement, and the company has demonstrated a positive neuroplastic effect leading to performance gains in both individuals and teams. It's very simple to use and comfortable. I'm using it now to enhance my physical training as well as my somatic movement skills. Think Tai Chi. So I'm excited to now introduce this to the Unbeatable Mind tribe. And the team at Halo is offering $125 off the sport model. So check out their website at haloneuro.com. That's HALONEURO.com. And use the code UNBEATABLEMIND125 at checkout. Trust me on this one. There are a few folks who already have the jump on you. So go to haloneuro.com today and use the promo code UNBEATABLEMIND125.
Hey, folks, welcome back. This is Mark Devine with the Unbeatable Mind podcast. Thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. If you haven't rated our show, go to iTunes and please rate it. I appreciate that. It helps other people find it. And if you're not on an email list, check out unbeatablemind.com/podcast. We do have a lot of announcements and special offers that we roll out through our email. Now, today I am doing a solo cast, which I love to do every 6 episodes or so. And the topic of today's discussion is the archetypes of the leader and the disciplines that go with those archetypes. So the archetypes of a leader and the disciplines that go with the archetype. So the general idea here is that as a leader, depending on where you are in life and what your roles are, you need to step into different roles or different archetypal attitudes. And these archetypal attitudes include the athlete, the warrior, the scholar, the hero, the magician, the joker, and the sage. And I'm sure there's others, but those are, you know, kind of powerful ones that I've identified, and I see them playing out in my own leadership capacity or leadership roles. And I think it'd be really interesting to kind of go through these and talk about them and talk about the disciplines of each archetype and the attitudes and some of the things that we need to do to develop them. Now, generally speaking, these different archetypes also are kind of accrue as you develop your leadership capacity, skills, and vertical development over time. For instance, if you're a young Navy SEAL, then you're predominantly going to be an athlete leader until you step into a strong leadership role as a platoon commander or a troop leader or, you know, a battalion leader, in which case you're going to be a warrior and a scholar as well. But you wouldn't necessarily need to be a sage. You wouldn't, you know, be a sage actually until you're more later on in your career and you've been kicked in the nuts a few times. All right, so let's go through these in order. First, the warrior athlete. Now, regardless of where you are in your leadership career, again, whether you're a young, you know, warrior leader at a SEAL team or in a, you know, new corporate role, or whether you're, you know, 65-year-old CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you need to embody the archetype of the athlete. What I mean by that is essentially you need to have a disciplined approach to training the body and the mind. Because, frankly, that's the vessel you need to do to project your leadership power and to take strong action. In this day and age, we really can't, you know, just rest behind the desk any longer. We've got to have a strong physical body. We've got to project power. We've got to have the, you know, maintain optimal health. And that translates into a sharper mind, a healthier mind, clearer decisions, and essentially an ability to make better decisions, more powerful decisions. So, you know, what we've been proposing with SEALFIT is a lifetime of functional fitness training, developing strength, stamina, work capacity, durability, endurance, and mental toughness. And this is, of course, has to be age appropriate and athletic ability appropriate. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, the 65-year-old CEO has to do the same type and volume of work as the 21-year-old Navy SEAL candidate. But, you know, generally speaking, the nature of the training is going to be very similar, if not identical. It's the load and the duration and the intensity that is scaled. And the point being that you know, to have a disciplined approach to training the body and mind means that you're going to be training a minimum of 3 times a week and ideally 5 to 6. And every day you're going to have a practice to move that body and to clear and calm the mind. Another aspect of the leader as an athlete is effective fueling. Now, it should be no mystery to you listening to this that we're a big proponent of the paleo warrior dieting and also wholesome foods and ketogenesis and all these things and intermittent fasting. So to really dig in and look at fueling and how it's affecting your sleep and recovery and to make sure that you're fueling your body properly, because that, of course, will affect your training and your performance. That's beyond the scope of this podcast, but certainly is something really important to take a look at because it affects everything else. Now, notice the leader as an athlete, what we're talking about here is foundational health, foundational functional fitness so you can move powerfully and get out into the field and do things that maybe are unexpected of you even, and also the ability or the self-assurance and confidence that comes that leads to self-respect, which also shows up as respect from others amongst your team. And respect is such a critical part of being a good leader. Respecting others, of course, starts with respecting yourself. And it's hard to respect yourself if you don't take care of your body and mind, the physical aspects of your body and mind, through proper fueling and proper movement and a proper recovery. Okay, enough on that. That's the leader as the archetypical athlete. Second, I want to talk about the leader as a warrior. This is something we know a lot about it in my company, developing warriors and leaders for 10 or 12 years now. So the warrior is discipline. Warrior has approaches discipline not as something that's just a gift, but as something that is developed. Discipline is developed by habituating daily practices of excellence. And that is essential as a leader these days. There are so many skills and so many things that are required of you as a leader that you really need to have a daily look at what are the narrow range of skills that you're developing, how do you master them in a crawl, walk, run fashion. And that not only requires but builds discipline. And through discipline, we employ another principle we call tapas or burning through resistance and finding new 20x thresholds. When you are a disciplined individual, a disciplined leader as a warrior, of course, foundationally, this includes the athletic aspect or archetype we just talked about, then generally speaking, you're going to have more trust from your team, largely because you're more trustworthy, because you've disciplined the habit of follow through, accountability, doing what you say you're going to do, being a man of or woman of your word. And this, essentially, this trust then expresses itself as honor, so that you're willing to, you know, step up and take a stand and make decisions that are honorable. And what that means is sometimes the consequences are a little bit sticky or unfavorable for you personally, and something you may not desire at a personal level, but it's the right thing to do. And so you step up and do it. And that's honor. You know, honor for the CEO is really, let me use an example of the recent airline fiascos where, you know, people were thrown off of United and, you know, it happened at a few different airlines and it was just a real disaster from a public relations standpoint, an honorable and disciplined approach to handling that, one that would have engendered trust, would have been for the CEOs of United to immediately acknowledge that a horrific mistake was made, to offer the passenger who was thrown off his flight a lifetime of free flights, and to immediately enact a new code of conduct and training for the entire airline, and to, you know, accept 100% responsibility for the failure. That's honorable. And we need to see more of that. And that's a warrior archetype for the leader. This podcast episode is brought to you by Organifi. Now, we all know that green juice is good for us, but juicing is a pain. It costs a fortune and it's super time consuming. At least that's my story. I don't juice. So that's why I opt for Organifi green juice as an alternative, because it's super easy, super tasty. It's an organic superfood green juice powder. Just add it to your water and stir it up. It dissolves almost immediately. Drink it, and it will help sustain your energy throughout the day. It'll reduce stress over time. And best part is it really tastes good. So check it out. To get your micronutrients from a superfood green juice, use Organifi. I think stuff is great. Go to Organifi.com, and these guys are super generous. I know the founder, and they have offered a 20% discount to you on your order. So go to Organifi.com, use the code UNBEATABLE at checkout, and get 20% off your order. And that link is also listed below in the show notes to this episode. Organifi.com. Hoo-yah. Another archetype or discipline of the warrior is to develop serenity, meaning that they need to be the calm person in the midst of the shitstorm. You know, when everything's speeding up and chaos is ensuing, and we know that business these days in the age of acceleration is just controlled chaos, the leader as a warrior is calm in the middle of that chaos. And this calmness is developed through a daily practice of silence, some sort of meditative or mindfulness or breathing practice done every day, such as our box breathing or our concentration training that we offer in Unbeatable Minds. So the warrior develops serenity, and his leading by example and his presence, which is serene and calm in the midst of the chaos, brings a lot of calmness and, you know, reduces anxiety amongst the team. Another attribute or discipline of the archetypal warrior leader is simplicity. Finding the simplicity on the other side of complexity, as my friend Captain Schultz says, that is an advanced skill and one that accrues from that serenity, right? So if the leader is taking time in silence every day, what happens is he's going to be able to recognize patterns that kind of fall out or emerge from the chaos and the complexity. And those patterns point to simple solutions and simple decisions, and simple actions. So finding simplicity on the other side of complexity is a very powerful attribute of the warrior as a leader, or as a leader as a warrior. And certainly the warrior is committed to self-mastery in service to his team. And in doing so, what they end up doing is setting security for the team. This is a really important principle. The warrior sets security, meaning, you know, just like a SEAL team will go into a building to capture someone or collect intelligence, when they do so, they'll set security to make sure that they consolidate the gains and they protect the individuals who are exposed. Now, when you embark upon a mission in your business organization, you're exposing everybody to, you know, potential problems. You know, there's going to be competition. There's going to be unknowns, or like Donald Rumsfeld said, there's going to be the knowns, the unknowns, and the unknowables. And so you as the warrior leader must set security for your team and to protect them and cover down on them. Make sure that when the inevitable failure or breach or ambush occurs, that you take care of the team and you don't let them hang out there to dry or take the hit for the company. So you got to set security and make sure the environment is okay to fail in and okay to try things new, okay to, you know, to innovate and to ride the red line, because otherwise everyone will just fall back into a mode of covering their own ass and not taking any risk. So that's the leader as a warrior. Now we've talked about the leader as an athlete and the leader as a warrior. Those two are transcended but included when the leader becomes a scholar. Okay, so this is where, as you develop the vertical skills that we just talked about of the warrior, which are really about your character, now it's incumbent upon you to also continue to develop competence in new areas and new skills so that you can lead in this dynamic world. And that is an important thing that, you know, it's actually fairly common. I just wanted to point it out that, you know, develop, it's because some people stop learning and they think they've got it all figured out. But leadership competence and the skills to run an organization are, you know, always available for you. You've got to empty your cup and approach learning with a kind of a new eye and a new eagerness to learn how to lead today. And so one great example of that is learning how to lead millennials. It's not, you know, it's not a normal skill that the 65-year-old CEO or VP of marketing has. And so that's another area of competence you can develop. Further, the scholar, the leader as a scholar, learns how to focus. And this is a really important thing. How do you focus so you can do the deep work of really creative thinking, innovation, writing, you know, say writing a book or whatever your creative outlet is or your creative imperative is for your organizational needs or your leadership role. You got to learn how to deeply focus and do that, what my friend Cale Newport calls deep work. And this is the work of the leader as a scholar. So making sure you take time to get away to the cabin in the woods like Thoreau did, to do the deep work and to prepare for the next stage of the business's growth, or to have time every day, and it can be around your time for silence and developing serenity, to where you sit with your journal and you think, right? You think, you use mental models, and you think and you plan and you envision the future. You do that deep work of focus so that you can bring that newness and those new ideas and that energy back into your organization. And eventually, we step up to be a hero. So this is the leader as a hero. Now, the hero is full of courage, but the courage comes from a deep commitment to the mission. Now, you could also kind of lump these into the warrior, but not all warriors are heroes, right? The warrior is like a long, slow, disciplined process of cultivating self-mastery and service. But it's the hero who steps out boldly to go where no man or woman has gone before, or to step out boldly to, you know, to expose himself at great risk, you know, like my friend, my teammate Michael Mansoor, and some of my SEAL team buddies who have exposed themselves to great risk as heroes to protect their teammates. Well, this is where the leader as the archetypal hero commits with a burn your boat type of commitment to a mission or to salvaging an operation or to protecting and covering down on an organization's experiencing cash flow. There's any number of ways the hero can show up. And that commitment then breeds courage. And the courage has been stoked because over the years, the leader has also been a scholar, a warrior, and an athlete. So they've got a lot of energy and momentum that gives them this courage to step out and to do bold things and to take risks. So that boldness is an attribute of the hero. Commitment and boldness and courage. And ultimately the hero, because the hero is not afraid to fail, develops wisdom. So that's not an attribute you often see with a hero, but it's wisdom that comes by stepping into the unknown and learning something completely new. And oftentimes, you have these paradigm-shifting, radical insights that accrue when you step into the unknown and you try things that are completely new. Blue ocean strategies, right? Or just stepping into complete unknown and just saying, all right, team, we don't really know where this is leading, but we're going to go here because this is what feels right. So we use our intuitive skills, our instinctual skills. We tap into the insight that comes when we're sitting in silence and the greater awareness that comes from being able to recognize patterns.
I only publicly support companies and products that I personally use and have found valuable. So I wanted to tell you about Qualia. Now, I'm not a supplement geek. I don't find them useful if I'm fueling properly, but when it comes to my cognitive strength and brain health, I am excited about the emerging industry of nootropic supplements. I've been testing Qualia, designed by my friends at the Neurohacker Collective, for several months now, and it's on the bleeding edge of nootropic research and has become the one supplement that I won't go without on a daily basis. Qualia stimulates what's called broad-spectrum cognitive enhancement, which involves optimizing multiple cognitive variables simultaneously rather than focusing on a single variable. For example, it brings me greater ability to focus and makes me feel more connected while not diminishing my overall awareness of the environment. I experience a systematic enhancement of my brain's ability to take in and process information without any stimulating effect, which would make me feel agitated like caffeine, or depleted after the effect wears off. Now, for a busy entrepreneur and athlete like me, it's a no-brainer to invest in my brain health with Qualia. You can get on the Qualia bandwagon with me by visiting neurohacker.com. That's neurohacker.com, and use the code UNBEATABLEMIND15R, that's UNBEATABLEMIND15R, to get 15% off the life of your order. Trust me on this one, you won't be disappointed with Qualia.
Let me talk about now the magician. Oftentimes, the hero will step out into the unknown, slaying the dragon, and all of a sudden, they come across an obstacle that seems insurmountable, right? The market evaporates, you know, we have a financial crisis, the product doesn't work or is not received by the marketplace. It could be any number of things. So now the leader goes from hero and must step into the magician phase. And the magician is the archetype where the leader must engender hope, must bring hope to the team, and also maybe some illusion, right? So they're, I'm not saying deception, but I'm saying illusion. Setting the illusion that things are a lot stronger or maybe hopeful or secure than they actually are. Because, you know, the warrior in you is setting security, but it's the magician in you that's got to engender and keep that hope alive with your team in the face of this unsurmountable obstacle. And the illusion is that things are a lot stronger and better than they are. And what you're asking for, you know, by holding out this hope and by communicating clearly the vision of how to get through the challenge is that everyone pulls a little bit harder and everyone stays on the team, right? Connected as a team. So the morphogenic field is not broken. And it takes a magician quality, an archetype of the magician, to pull the hero through to the next stage. And what happens typically is in that stage where the team is carrying the load while the magician is making the illusion that things are stronger, then the hero steps back into the scholar role and the warrior role to develop new competencies and new skills for the team and for himself or herself so that they can spring forth and then move on and move through the obstacle to the next stage. Now, at this stage, the leader will step into the sage archetype, the wise sage. This is the statesman or stateswoman who oftentimes is interfacing with political community or international peers and providing service at a world-centric level. World-centric. Now, this is really important, especially, you know, everyone who's working at a global level knows how important it is to have a world-centric point of view where we respect all cultures, we respect all leaders, and we don't have to reduce ourselves to their values or even like them, but we need to respect them and work with them in a global community, a global world-centric community of statesmen and women. So this is a service to humanity stage of development and archetype where everyone must benefit from our actions, no matter what size organization you're leading, or else it's just not worth doing, right? If you're hurting anything, then you're hurting the system and the whole, which means you're hurting yourself. So the world-centric sage is someone who can take perspectives on other individuals and other cultures and meet them where they're at. They truly are an integral or integrated person. They're able to travel all stages or plateaus of consciousness, and they maintain their vision through that, but they can also communicate that vision to people of different cultures and different levels of development. This is a high skill, and is something we endeavor to develop at Unbeatable Mind in our Unbeatable Mind Online Academy, as well as our inner circle. The sage is incredibly important, and generally speaking, it's a ladder development or stage, right? This is a culmination of many, many years of leadership development. Last but not least, I might mention the Joker, right? I probably could have mentioned the Joker before the Sage because developmentally, you know, that you know may show up before the Sage. But also the Joker can show up at any one of these levels. But the Joker is the morale officer. I would say that, you know, a good part of like motivation theory for me comes down to the Joker. And that is the ability to really make people feel good about themselves, to bring a smile to their face, to be positive, to feed the courage wolf. And the Joker, you know, inside, you know, contrary to popular belief, people think maybe the Joker is arrogant or egotistical or a screw-off. It's not true. I'm talking about a sophisticated archetype here where with great humility, you're able to lighten the load or bring lightness to your team. So you can be deadly serious about achieving the mission. You could be, you know, working as a hero and a sage and a scholar and a warrior, your athlete, body, mind, system, providing the respect and the trust. And maybe, you know, you've had to step into the magician to provide a little illusion and hope that things are better than they actually are. But it's the Joker in you that keeps everyone smiling and happy and light and feeding the courage wolf. Cool, huh? So that's those are the archetypes of the leader, leader athlete, leader warrior, leader scholar, leader hero, leader magician, leader joker, and leader sage, ultimately culminating as a sage where you transcend and include all of those attributes that we talked about, every one of them, and you deploy those skills and those disciplines as necessary, both situationally and through a daily training and readiness type practice. Hoo-yah. All right, so hope that was interesting to you. Of course, you can do your part by committing to your morning routine of movement and breath and checking in with your ethos so you know where you stand, sitting in silence and journaling and maintaining a positive attitude and going about your day with gratitude. This is winning in your mind before you step into the battlefield of your day. And then during your day, taking moments, little pockets of time to do what we call spot drills. Spot drill could be 50 squats, 100 burpees, could be 5 minutes of box breathing. It could be a couple sun salutations. It could be a moment of just pure gratitude. It could be just sitting in the sun or taking a walk or having an authentic conversation with one of your teammates. So in this way, your practice is extended throughout your day in the busyness of what we do so that you can practice being in the midst of your doing. And then the evening ritual is where you seal the wins in from the day. You reflect upon the wins and you note them so that you maintain that positive momentum. And also you look back and visualize the day as it went and you see where you kind of messed up and where things didn't go so well. And you look for the silver lining, you look for the lesson. And you note that down and you learn from it. And then the most important part is you let go of the energy of regret or failure or screw up. And you let that go. You forgive yourself and you forgive whoever else, you know, was involved. And you just chalk it up to life, right? Being human is sticky. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we fail. It doesn't matter as long as we're moving forward and learning and growing. And that's how we develop an unbeatable mind. So train hard. Stay focused. Do the work. I hope to see you in the Unbeatable Mind Online Academy. Go to unbeatablemind.com for information. And we actually have a 30-day free trial. So if you go to unbeatablemind.com/free trial, that should work. And if it doesn't work, then let us know. I'm pretty sure that works. That just popped in my head. I wasn't planning on saying that, but we do have a free trial for you to check out. We also have our Unbeatable Mind annual summit, formerly called the retreat, coming up the first week in December. We're already more than halfway full with that. It's an extraordinary event. Should be a couple hundred of us coming together in Carlsbad, California to learn from some great speakers who all possess an unbeatable mind of their own, who cover different aspects of the five mountains, physical, mental, emotional, intuitional, or spiritual development. And we also train together and learn together and develop our plan for the next year. So the idea being that we're going to spend time learning and growing and communing and then also planning for an unbelievable 2018. So that's the Unbeatable Mind Summit. And one last thing is we have our final SEAL Fit/Unbeatable Mind Academy of the year. Now, this academy is our three-day academy. It's found on the sealfit.com website under sealfit.com/academy. And it's really our executive leadership event where we go deep in developing warrior leadership, the warrior athlete, the warrior leader, and the hero's journey. So this is the one event that I personally spend an enormous amount of time at, along with my SealFit coaches. And we really go deep in all the Unbeatable Mind principles of breath and concentration and mental control and understanding how to access flow on demand and all these things. And then we test it under pressure with some of the SealFit methodologies in the ocean and in the mountains and that type of thing. So it's really an extraordinary 3 days, definitely transformational. Our last one of 2017 is coming up in October, along with our last Kokoro. So if you're on the fence, get off it and join us. Hoo-yah. Hope to see you soon. Thanks for your time. This is Mark Devine with the Unbeatable Mind Podcast. Checking out. Adios.
Lock and load, boys. Time to explode, boys. Make sure you get home, boys. They got your back. The pride of the fleets. The bright swinging frogmen of the UTT.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.